Okay, so welcome to our pre-show for the 28th. And I'm thinking of going back to the old schedule, which was having an encore on Monday and Friday as opposed to these first 2 days being encore shows. The reason why we went to the first 2 days being encore shows is because I always, on Mondays and Tuesdays, have a lot of these audio auditions to do. And they take up a decent part of the day. So it, once we got into the evening hours, it was easier to do the encores on those days. But you know what, man? If I got to get out of bed earlier, that's what I got to do. Because I think it's better. I think it's better if we do it the other way. Okay, so that one is done. I had a big one yesterday. Imagine me on the Maginot Line, sitting like an ass on the Maginot Line. Do-do-do-do. That's a song from World War II. The singer, I don't know, but he was a little, he had this little dork voice, and he used to sing like this. Imagine me on the Maginot Line, sitting like, and he had buck teeth, and it was just like, man, I want to hurt you. I'm just kidding. No, he was very beloved. What is his name now? I got to find out the name of this cat. He was a very beloved entertainer of the troops in World War II, British. And let me see. Imagine, this is how I'll find it. Imagine, why don't I just do the audio fucking part here? Who sang Imagine Me on the Maginot Line in World War II? George Formby. That's right. George Formby was this cat. And the song went, in 1939, comedy song written by Harry Gifford and Fred E. Cliff for the comedian George Formby. Formby recorded it on 17th of December for Regal's Zonophone Records. The title refers to the Maginot Line, a large defensive fortification in northern France, constructed to withstand assault from Nazi Germany. Formby voices a member of the British Expeditionary Force stationed to defend France during the Second World War. The song was a hit, and Formby performed it when entertaining British troops. Popular during the Phony War of 1939-40, the song rapidly dated when the Germans attacked and successfully conquered France. Yeah, because they called it the Phony War because there was nothing to do. 1939 into 1940, there was no war on the Western Front. The Germans had attacked Poland. I think they'd already attacked and occupied the Netherlands, but the Western Front, that would be France. There was nothing going on. But as they say, the song rapidly dated. Let me see if we can play this. I just saw it. Is it? Yeah, here it is.
Imagine me in the Maginot Line, sitting on the mine in the Maginot Line. Now it's turned out nice again, the army life is fine. French girls make a fuss of me. I'm not French as you can see, but I know what they mean when they say wee wee.
All right, you get the general idea. I like that line about, what did he say? But I know what they mean when they say wee-wee. All right, man. That was exciting. That was...
there's a lot of truth in that,
you know. There's a line in there about using the helmet as a piss pot. That's, I think, what they were just laughing at. You know, he uses the helmet to sit on. He uses the helmet to boil water in. And he also uses the helmet at night to pee in. Why would you do that, though? Why would you piss in your helmet? Why not just go out and piss in the, you know? Maybe I didn't hear that right. Take a shit in it? No, you wouldn't do that either. I don't know. I don't know what the guy means by that. All right, bitch. Not you, me. That's how I talk to myself. Okay, bitch. It's like Gloria Grover talking to Larry.
Listen, bitch.
Okay, so you know that Dr. Elcott has been demoted? Yeah, I know. Also, the link is up on our Facebook page. The link is up on our... I got to put it on the homepage on the website, too. All right, let me see. I got to tell the guys. Imagine me and imagine your life. All right, so what I got to do is, guys, please add this to the homepage, man. Now imagine me in the middle. Holy Christ, every fucking time I do this shit, man, it's like a big goddamn production. Fuck. .org. Okay. Go down here, and there he is. There's our buddy Phil. Get tickets. I want to give this to my brother Shane. Where's Shane? The guys are great. I got a great crew. Don't get me wrong. I got a great crew. But I don't know if they get my messages. That's the thing. Not sure. Let me see. Not sure if the guys see my messages over on Slack, period. Could you make sure that they post this on the homepage? It's for the show at the end of February, beginning of March. I'm not sure that the guys are getting my messages over on Slack, period. could you make sure that they post this on the homepage for my shows at Theater West? ? I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Period.
Now imagine me on the
Don't do the voice to text of that.
Imagine me on the
Really, motherfucker, you're gonna make me go back and copy and paste that bitch again? Let me see. It links. It links over. Good thing. So yeah, we got this. We have this notice. You know, under 14 has to be accompanied by a parent because the show's. Come on, let's face it, folks. The show's got adult material in it. Give me a break. Okay, so you know, what are you gonna do, a striptease? No, man, I'm talking. You know, adult themes in the show. And I don't know about you, but I like to not do that in front of kids. Okay, I'd rather be up there and drag. There, that's something that isn't gonna hurt the kids at all. Be up there and fucking dressed as a woman. And they go, why are you dressed as a woman? Because it's funny. Jesus Christ. That's why. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. As adults, man, we're the ones, we make them crazy and nervous about all kinds of shit. Stuff that makes us nervous, we infect our kids with. Okay, so as I was saying, imagine me on the imaginary line, pissing in my helmet on the imaginary line. Do 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 28th. That Margaret interviewing Bob Green, I thought that was funnier than fuck. I don't know. Come on, bitch, let's go. I really did. I listened to something and I go, God damn it, am I still funny? Maybe I ain't that funny anymore, man. Bobby and Steve Dooley, Phil is sick. Margaret goes 1-on-1 with Bob Green. Bob Green is selling meats and greens. Margaret Gray hosts a round table with Ted Bell. The funniest thing with Bob Green for me is the fact that he wants to make sure Bob Green's in town, right? So that I step out from an alley and there I am, and he's serious. So I want to do a thing on Wednesday when we get back to live shows, or new shows. Bob Green's meat, okay? I'm evolving that. I step out from an alley from behind a garbage can. Bob, you can't be serious. Why could I not be serious? You step out from behind a garbage can and what? Huh. All right, Mr. Judgment. Part 2 of the Tom Dovka sing-in. The fuck is that?
Now imagine me on the Maginot Line, looking like an ass on the Maginot Line.
And now, the Tom Dovka explosion. Yes, Tom Dovka, one of the top consultants in all of the radio game, is on the Phil Hendry Show, filling in and showing how it's done. Here then, Tom Dovka.
All right, thanks a lot. If you heard me yesterday, you heard that I didn't do too good. And I'm not, you know, look, I'm not a professional. What I don't do is I'm not here doing, I respect talent. Don't get me wrong, but this is a lot of monkey shit. Yeah, Tom Dovka is sort of a satirization of what you can guess. Of all, not necessarily, I've known a lot of great programmers, don't get me wrong. I've known a lot of great program directors. I have. David G. Hall was one. My buddy up in Ventura, Rich Galano, was another. I love Jim Ashbury. All the guys that I had went in talk radio. I thought Steve Nichol was a wonderful guy in Miami. Boy, he took no end of shit from people. And we made fun of him, too. But Steve was a good man. I don't know. And when I was in music radio, Bill McGathy at WORJ in Orlando was a good man to work for. And I worked for Jim Boynton, my very first job. He was a terrific guy to work with. There were a lot of great guys, you know, that tried to make your job easier. They tried to make your job. And then you met those programmers and those technocrats and those general managers that just tried to make your fucking job harder. Just tried to make it. And they would say to you, I'm trying to get the station sounding right. You don't fucking know what sounds right. You wouldn't know what sounded fucking right, man, if they, you know, gave you a whole new brain. Some of these guys. So, and as I said, where was I? Was I in Nashville or was I here in L.A.? But I said to someone, and they didn't disagree with me, I said it to a consultant that I respect very much, Valerie Geller. Valerie's one of the good guys, you know. But I told her, I said, and she agreed. I said, the radio business doesn't exist anymore, not because of the talent, but because of the motherfuckers that ran the business, from the owners down to the general managers and the managers, all the brain trust, they fucked my business up. I don't care what you say. You guys had the fucking reins of this motherfucker. You guys were driving this fucking thing. And these motherfuckers that can't make a move without squeezing another nickel out of something. So they'd say to you, we just couldn't figure out how to make any money. Well, you can't figure out. Get the fuck out of the business then. There's millions and millions and zillions and gazillions of people who are using the internet right now. There had to have been a way, and I could have shown you if you were interested, to meld the radio business with the new media, or have them be parallel tracks supporting each other, promoting each other. Sometimes when people need on-demand listening, and sometimes people want on-demand listening. They don't have time to go fucking around and looking for some download. And not on-demand. I mean appointment listening. They want live listening. Sometimes they want to know what the news is. It's live, you know. Sometimes they want just a live voice. It happens. You use that as a sort of a parallel support to the on-demand nature of new media. And I'm telling you, there was a way forward. But why, they would say to you? Because you own these properties, and there's still a way to make them lucrative. Right now, what are you doing? The demographics for that shit is 100 years of age and over. And you don't have the advertisers you got for that, man, they're not pulling down big dollars for that shit. So don't tell me that you are. And the biggest crime of all is that it's not good radio. I don't give a fuck about the politics necessarily. You got to mix it up a little bit, baby. Give the people some entertainment. But no, they didn't want to do that. So, okay. Here we are. Here's Phil getting all pissed off here. All right, so I'm not pissed off. I'm just talking. So I got on the scale this morning, and guess what? I'm down below 230. I'm at 229, so the kids, you know, I'm working it, man. And that was all day yesterday. I ate nothing but veggie burgers. That's all. I didn't have any real sort of traditional carbohydrates. And I think I dropped about 3 pounds yesterday alone. Now, today, I went out and got myself some real food. I had apples. I had a salad. I did have a couple of veggie patties or whatever they were. And also, what else? I had apples, a salad, some veggie. In my salad, I had avocado oil and balsamic vinegar. Huh? Yeah? All right. Yeah.
That's the way to do it, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Okay. That having been said, you know what we ought to do right now is go ahead and get a, since we do, we'll go ahead and we'll get our classic, right? Yeah. Let's go to the archives. Let's go to the archive. Now imagine me on the Maginot Line, looking like an ass on the Maginot Line. The next hour is Phil gears up for Super Bowl 34 this weekend. Super Bowl 34 was January of 2000, and here we are 24 years later. So Super Bowl 24 years later? I don't know. No, 20 years later, 54. Super Bowl 54? Or 55, what's the Super Bowl? Next, so the Super Bowl is on the 9th of February. Now, before 9/11, the Super Bowl was always in January, you will remember. When 9/11 happened and the season was pushed a week, the Super Bowl got pushed into November. That was the first time a Super Bowl was played in November. That was the Super Bowl of 2002. And that's where they've had it since. And, as you know, they've expanded the season to 17 games. I'm sure the Players Association made sure the players were compensated for that. The Canadian League plays 18 games. I don't know why they settled on 17. That's really kind of squirrely, isn't it? I guess the odd number is good for the standings. I don't know. I don't give a shit. All right. The army life is fine, but I know what they mean when they say wee wee. Sitting on a Maginot Line. Now imagine me on the Maginot Line, looking like a clod on the Maginot Line. I ought to be out getting a living made for my wife and my kids. All right, so that's a groovy thing. Then, where are we going, man? I'll go back here. We got Tom Dovka, right? Yeah. Will we go back to 24? Did we? We did. How about that? So it's part two of Tom Dovka Sings. Sitting on the Maginot Line. All right, baby. So I got to do some writing tomorrow with my brother Jonah Weiland, who's directing the show again. Thank you, Jonah, for doing that. He's a good fucking director. He's a good positive energy to be around too. And then Dina Maroney is gonna produce it. All right, here we go. Let me see. Right? Okay. Cool.